Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you just receive an inheritance? Take a breath, then call our team. We'll help you honor that legacy by making smart, tax-efficient decisions that protect your future.
Don't guess. Get advice. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly Dima. Kelly will be back with us in just a few minutes, I think. Daniel Stewart's with us today. Of course, it's Tuesday, and he's our baseball analyst, and he knows a thing or two about Southern Bancorp. Have you ever heard of that place, Daniel?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about them.
Down in Midtown, we really appreciate their sponsorship of our studio broadcast every day. Opening segment of the show, sponsored, of course, by Dickie's Barbecue. Later in the show, we're going to hear from McCarty English. Quite a comeback story in the making there, as this young man has overcome a really severe injury and a couple of surgeries and is back on the weekend rotation. So we look forward to that conversation. But back at it tonight, no rest for the weary as Ole Miss comes to town with a big glossy record. Not in the top 25, could be their scheduling, I'm not really sure, but no doubt Daniel Stewart, they'll be tough, they'll come down here ready for bear, and it'll be another heavyweight fight, I suspect.
Yes, it will. You know, once again, it's very similar to last weekend, in-state rivals, SEC versus Sun Belt Conference. You know, obviously it seems maybe the script has flipped a little bit this week where we're the odds-on favorite, so we like to be in that position, but it's going to be a great game.
It'll just mean more for Ole Miss to get a chance to play us tonight.
Yeah,
right?
It means more for those guys.
Dima Mixon, you expect a good tough battle tonight?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's really interesting. Of course, you know, I'm very involved on social media and stuff like that. And like Daniel said, it's almost a reverse of last week. Ole Miss is actually using this game to see how good their team is, which is an incredible position for Southern Miss baseball to be in, that they're that highly regarded. Yep. You know, we're seeing a lot of – I've seen a lot of social media, you know, this week from Ole Miss fans saying, you know, we're going to know a lot about this team this week because they play, obviously, Southern Miss tonight. They have a tough road series this weekend in the SEC. I believe it's at Auburn off the top of my head. It's either Auburn or Texas, one of those two.
Texas,
okay. Yep. But obviously that's two top 10 teams in 1 week, and we're seeing it. They're rolling out their Saturday guy with their rotation to pitch tonight. Ole Miss Taylor Rabe is going to go for the Rebels tonight. Would assume he'd be on a pitch count, but he did not pitch this past weekend. He was their Saturday guy the first three weekends. So we'll see what happens. You know, he's kind of come out of the pen a couple times, but then they've started him. So he's going tonight, one of their best arms. Going
that
against
can't
Southern
be
Miss.
Right, because for 25 years I've always heard, well, Southern Miss pitches all their best pitchers whenever they play us during the week, and we don't. So it's really unfair. Did I just hear the reverse of that name?
You heard the reverse. You definitely did. Yeah.
Wow. How about how times change, huh?
Very much so.
Daniel, I spent some time around some of the guys yesterday at practice, and this is what you hear. I'm sure Dima hears this from them all the time, too. Yes, Ole Miss, we want to win. It's the next game. You know, and whether we win or lose tomorrow night, we're going to play our best. We've got to go start our league play this weekend. That's the mindset you have to have, though. It's the next game up, and it's important. Not because it's Ole Miss, not because it's Alabama. It's because it's the next game up, right?
Right. You know, as a fan, we want to think that our players are just as hyped up about the game as we are, and they are. They are excited, and no doubt this is a big stage, and they understand that. But it's one game of many. They're going to use this as a catapult into this weekend.
Ole Miss as well.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a tough midweek game. I'm excited to go and watch it and see. So Yeah, as a fan, yeah, great game to watch. But as a player, it's just another game.
What an opportunity, though, Damon, to go 3-0 against SEC schools here early in the year.
Sure. Pardon me, he wasn't the starter on those Saturdays. He was the first guy out of the pen. I read that stat line wrong. But normally when you get the win, I was assuming he was a starter. But he is one of their frontline guys out of the pen. So he's a really good pitcher. He just wasn't on the rotation like I originally thought. But you're right. You know, to go 3-0 against these SEC schools, you know, you had two. You really handled Alabama really well. That night, and then obviously Mississippi State last week in a blockbuster game that you know, lived up to all the hype. I would say tonight doesn't feel that like the same hype as Mississippi State did. You know, it's not a knock to Ole Miss. It just doesn't feel that the weight of that game the same. But I still expect a very competitive Ole Miss Rebels team. And like I said, they really view this as their biggest game of the year because they haven't played anybody like Southern Miss yet. And all their fans are looking at this saying, we're going to know what this team is made of. Mm-hmm. That's number one, probably the highest respect I've ever seen from Ole Miss fans to Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. And number two, we know what Mike Bianco said to the New York Times a couple of weeks ago when he was asked on that panel, you know, which team is going to surprise this year? And he said, do not overlook Southern Miss. He said that on the panel. He said they operate like an SEC school. You know, they operate not like a mid-major. So I really think to Ole Miss, the team, at least, not probably the fans, but to the team, they view this as a four-game SEC week, you know, with the SEC weekend this weekend and then Southern Miss tonight as their first true road game.
Mm-hmm. Should be exciting. Should be exciting.
It will definitely be exciting.
Crabtree goes for the Golden Eagles tonight. You got to believe Sustrom is available, too, to come in after Crabtree.
Got
right?
to. You know, notice he didn't pitch any this past weekend. So that's good. He's, you know, he's going to be fresh.
What did you think of his initial appearance last week, Crabtree?
I thought he did great. You know, it's one of those names, like I've said before, did not kind of recognize and realize who he was, but really impressive. He kind of really fits in with that group of guys, the Fars, the Littletons, those guys that can come out. They're throwing really hard, great off-speed stuff. So, yeah, he's another one of those guys that I'm really glad that we've got in our pen.
Mm-hmm. A lot of confidence around that ball club, though, I sensed yesterday afternoon, Demo. But they're really laid back, man. They're just really relaxed and kind of enjoying the ride is the impression you get.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think, you know, there's obviously some things you can point out, some little things that you want to see better from this team, which I've said it over and over again, and I feel like I'm like a repeating machine or something. I think it's amazing that the fans know that the team hasn't played their best baseball yet, and they're 14-2, right? And I think that should probably scare every other college baseball team in the country, especially with that pitching staff that Oz has. And we talked about it last week, Daniel, and we saw it on Sunday, in at least Sunday's game, with the amount of pitchers he has. You know, last season when one guy would kind of struggle, they would kind of had to ride him, even though he was struggling. J.W. Armistead struggled a little bit on Sunday.
He did.
And he's been great for them.
Yeah.
Last year, he probably would have stayed in that scenario, but I said, nope, you're coming out. Let's go put in one of these other arms.
That's right.
And he shut it down. And that doesn't mean that J.W. Armistead is bad necessarily.
He was a stopper against Mississippi State.
Correct. And so it's that amount of treasures that make that separates this team from any other Southern Miss team I've seen in the past.
I agree. 100% agree. Yeah. You know, the cool and calmness that you see these players have, to me, my opinion, is a direct correlation to our coaching staff. They are not worried. They know they have built a great program. They've taught these guys well, and that is being reflected in our players right now.
Well, there's no question about it. And the pitching staff's pretty fresh. They didn't use many pitchers over the weekend. They really have a lot of options tonight, right?
Yeah, they do. You know, I think McCarty pitched five on Sunday. Then it was, you know, one inning from Littleton and some guys. So, you know, pitching one inning, that's a bullpen. You know, these guys are used to doing that anyway. So the pitching staff is going to be really fresh.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean that you've had three SEC schools come here and play? I'm delighted to see that, and I think that speaks to the stature of the baseball program today.
Well, you know, to Dima's point earlier, you know, Ole Miss using this to see how good they are. I think a lot of these other schools kind of use us as that yardstick as well. You know, we're the mid-major. It's a fun game to see on the schedule, but then when they really show up and play in Pete Taylor Park, in that atmosphere, how do their players respond in that environment against a great team and a great club? I think they use that as a yardstick to see how tough and how good of a team they have.
Boy, Dima, I'm going to tell you what, going to Southern Miss and then going to Texas for three, that'll answer your questions pretty quick, won't it?
Right, and that's what the fans are saying. You know, that they – Of course, really, the only two teams, I think they've only played two or three teams with winning records as far as their schedule, and they've lost all of them. They lost to Coastal.
Badly.
Yes, and lost to Baylor, who Southern Miss beat. I think this is a real, like, Ole Miss fans are like, yeah, we have a great record, you know, but this week is like the week where we know what this team is.
I will say this about Mike Bianco, though. He has always been a first-class individual, and I had an opportunity to talk to him after a few minutes after the game last year, and after losing, he was just high class. I think a lot of him, and you're right, he's always been extremely respectful and complimentary about the Southern Miss baseball.
Yeah, he has.
And you have to respect that, you know, with Coach Bianco.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know you mentioned SEC teams coming here all the time. We better enjoy it because I'm wondering if they're going to stop scheduling.
Well, I kind of wonder.
Because they keep losing.
I think Alabama's real shaky about coming back right now, don't y'all?
Probably.
All right, when we come back, he won't pitch tonight, but I think one of the building feel-good stories of the year could be McCarty English and how this kid has come back from a really serious injury. Had an opportunity to talk to him about that yesterday. I think you'll enjoy what he has to say. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues from the Southern Bank Corp Studio in Hattiesburg.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of our program. They're on Highway 98 West. Goodyear Tires, full truck and auto service. Everything you need for your car or truck, you'll find it at Eagle Tire West, next to Smith Motor Company, managed by Matt Warren and a lot of Southern Miss guys down there, big Southern Miss supporters. And if you got to buy tires for your car or truck and you're a Golden Eagle, why would you go anywhere other than that?
And did you know, Bob, that tires really are not just tires? I mean, let me explain. Mm. Lots of times tires, they get grades by different consumer reports based on what they're strong at, what they're weak at. Like in the springtime, we get a lot of rain in Mississippi, right? So to try to prevent hydroplaning, you might want to get a tire that is especially good and has good consumer reports on tread, staying to the ground in rain. You know, you have tires, Kelly, that
nobody cares. I really am sorry, but let's get to what people care about. Do we have McCarty English coming soon?
Finish your thought, Kelly.
Sometimes you want tires that you can get a lot more miles out of, and the traction in rain does. He's young. He doesn't care about hydroplaning off a road. You know, us older folks care about things like that. My point is they can take you through what tire best suits your needs, what you're looking for in a tire.
Wow. That impressed you, Daniel, as much as it did me?
That's a great pitch, Kelly.
Boy, I'm
great
telling
pitch
you what.
All of their tires, guys, however, I can guarantee you are respectful, unlike some people in this room.
McCarty English is the Sunday starter for the Golden Eagles, and it's quite a comeback story as this kid really suffered through a really severe injury. Talked to him yesterday. Daniel, I'm interested to hear your thoughts after you hear this young man talk about coming back and how you have to come back both mentally and physically and how good it feels to be back. Here's McCarty English. McCarty, you're a great story of resilience and fighting back. Talk a little bit about the injury your freshman year, the rehab last year, the disappointment, and what this journey's been like.
Yeah, no, the injuries, you know, that's never fun, and you know, having to come back and, you know, do all the therapy and you know, work your butt off every day, and you know, whenever times seem like they're, you know, not getting better, or you're staying in the same place, you gotta, you know, keep pushing. And you know, I'm very blessed to, you know, have said that I'm able to come out of that. And you know, like you said, after last year, you know, just trusting God through all that, and you know, coming better out of it is has been great.
Take us through what happened to you.
Yeah, so freshman year, fractured olecranon and bone spurs. So I got the screw in, and everything was feeling fine. And then probably third week of inter squads, spring, screw just didn't feel right. Never was really fully back healthy. And tried to push through that all of last year. And it just never really, you know, felt good. And then got the screw out of June of last year. And, you know, ever since then, everything has been feeling so much better. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm healthy now. I actually am. So I'm happy for that.
Was there a point last year when the coaches said, McCarty, let's just stop this, put you on the shelf and get you well?
Yeah, not necessarily. You know, I was still active and available towards the end of the year, but, you know, obviously just wasn't really, you know, putting good stuff out there. And, you know, I trust the coaches with everything that that they say and do. So, you know, just being there and taking on a dugout role and, you know, doing anything that I can do to help the team out and do that. So.
And these coaches never gave up on you, did they? And what does that mean to you?
No, it means a lot. You know, having coaches that are out there and they trust you and, you know, want to keep building you and, you know, see your potential and everything, that's really big. And, you know, having a good relationship with Coach Leger and Coach Oz has been great through it.
Talk about the new pitching coach. Talk about what he's meant to you guys. We discussed that with Oz today on our show, and he just had nothing but praise for this young man.
Yeah, no, Coach Leger is he's really good. He's really good at what he does, and, you know, is a good – not only a good coach, but somebody that you can, you know, talk to, open up to, and you know, really figure out what's going on. And just a good guy that you can really relate to. And he's been there and done that. And having somebody that, you know, has pitched at the level that he has, you know, being able to convert what Coach Oz is saying and what he also has to say has been huge.
All right, so what has it meant to you to be back in that starter role on Sunday?
Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, getting on the 7-day plan again, and you know, being able to go through each week, knowing what your plan is and how you're going to attack it, and with midweek bullpen and all that good stuff, it's been really good to, you know, be able to sit back and look at your week and say, hey, this is what I'm doing on this day, and just being able to attack it week by week.
And how do you feel physically and mentally right now?
I feel great. Yeah, everything feels great. And, you know, mentally, I'm, you know, right in the ring. You know, everything is starting to fall into place. And, you know, just keep building good outings on good outings.
Fair to say this Sunday outing against North Alabama was your best yet. How'd you feel out there Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like my fastball had better ride. You know, I was more up in the zone instead of down in the zone. So I was able to miss a lot more barrels than I have in the past. And also added the cutter last week, so that's been really good. Gives the hitters kind of a different look, and nothing in the scouting report on it, too, so that helps. So.
All right, Daniel, you know, you heard him talk about that, coming back,
yeah.
the process that it is. That's difficult, is it not?
It really is. Fortunately, you know, back in my career, I was able to avoid serious injury, but I had some players that did, and the main thing that they kept talking about was, hey, I'm fixed, my arm is better, whatever it may be, but it's in the back of my head, I'm still telling myself, I can't let it go, I'm going to get injured again. So just as much as it is a physical, you know, obstacle to overcome, it's a mental obstacle to overcome as well. So based on what he was saying, it kind of explained some of last year. You know, he'd have a great inning, maybe two, then it would kind of fall apart. So that kind of explains, you know, the screw in his elbow started flaring up and kind of lost that command. So seeing him build on that this year and knowing that, hey, he's throwing pain-free makes me feel really excited. But and obviously, too, as we always say, these guys, when they speak to you, Bob, and the rest of the media, you can just tell that these guys are – good guys. They speak well. They love our program, love our coaches. So just, yeah,
no
excited
question.
To hear from him.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, Yogi Berra once said 90% is mental, 20% is physical.
So Yogi can't add.
but that is so true, and you can't ever underestimate. Yeah. That goes back to the confidence factor too, right? Because if you're not confident in every aspect of your game, and a pitcher really has to make more decisions other than the coach than any other player during the game. So if you're not clicking on all cylinders, and people always ask, why do pitchers get paid so much money? Yeah. Well, they are so much more involved in everything that they do, the mental exhaustion and the toll that just recovering can cause. The mental exhaustion is, am I getting better? Is this going slower than anticipated? When am I going to be back? There's so many questions that have to go through their minds, too. It's a real mental chess match.
Yeah, if you're rehabbing, you're at the ballpark an hour or two before everybody else. So your whole schedule is different than the rest of the team, just trying to rehab and get better.
Dima, if McCarty English can get back 100%, just how good is his stuff and just how big an impact can he make this year?
You know, I've made the joke. Actually, Glenn Dyer, my friend, made this joke. We kind of bounce off it a little bit, but we made the joke that Gunnar Leje has just kind of given every single pitcher a cutter, and he gave McCarty English, of course, a cutter, and it's really played well off his fastball. Now, of course, the other day he was kind of fastball changeup the whole day. You know, that off speed is really works well off his changeup, off his fastball, and when he could get that fastball up to 95, 96, like he's been able to do, it's really lethal. The problem that he had in the first couple weeks was his pitch count was just getting so high. But if you look at his like hit count, I mean, it was like less than two almost in every single pit, almost every outing. His pitch count just got so high. So the first time that the pitch count really didn't matter, if that makes sense, where you're on your fourth week so you can extend those starters and go 90, 95 pitches, he was able to get you to 5-6 innings. And when you have an outing like you did with Colby Allen and Graydon Harris on Friday, Saturday, and you're only used, I believe, only four pitchers, including them, Friday and Saturday, if McCarty can get you to the fifth, and you have your whole bullpen to go, I mean, you're in a perfect scenario. So I think with McCarty English, it's like, listen, just get me to the fifth inning with the chance to win, which he'll do because he keeps his hit count so low and he doesn't walk a lot of kids. And if he can do that, the bullpen will, you know, be able to lean it up. And I go back to five runs. If Southern Miss can get five runs, they're going to win most games they play. And we've seen that. The two games they lost, the team that they were playing, Nichols had three. Now UC Santa Barbara had six, but they got two in the ninth. So it was kind of like it was that 4-1 game until the ninth inning.
And when these,
that was a long answer.
And when these pitchers start extending their outings, the problem you're going to have that Oz is going to have and Gunnar Leje is going to have is getting the relievers enough work. Because the only way you stay sharp is to get in the battle.
That was kind of a problem at times last year. The starters would go so deep that the bullpen didn't get a whole lot of work.
And you have and there's a difference, Daniel. Explain from your point of view the difference between practice and actual game, being sharpened in a game as according to practice. It's a whole different world.
Oh, I mean, it is. And, you know, especially in like those inter-squad games you talked about when you're pitching against your own team, you know, it is different. Those guys know you. But it's a whole different approach. You know what those in practice is, hey, I'm throwing 40 pitches or I'm throwing one inning. You get thrown into the game situation, they may have an idea now, especially a game like tonight. Coach Oz may have told him, hey, you got one or two. But, you know, I'm willing to believe that, you know, he might start letting these guys try to put a few more pitches under the belt, get them ready for the midweek. Mid-year.
Number seven, Southern Miss tonight, host Ole Miss, trying to get in the top 25.
And what is it? Yeah, Ole Miss is not ranked?
No. They're
So they're not anywhere in the top 25?
No.
So they're not in the best of teams in the country?
Mm-mm. No, it is. I think it's illegal for an SEC team not to be in the top 25.
I wanted to make sure I had that right before I reported
this. I think
this
that could constitute a fine of some sort.
To the
sort.
NCAA, yeah, which Central Michigan will be punished for.
They're nervous. Daniel, thank you.
Thank you.
See you next Tuesday. We'll be right back.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Thank Daniel Stewart for coming in to join us as he does every Tuesday. Always have fun with Daniel, good baseball analyst. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. That's where you go for baseball, softball training. If you're a primed adult athlete like Kelly Sander, you can go there for all kinds of workouts. He does regularly, lifts weights, runs the 40s, hits the batting cages.
8-ounce wrist curls for sure.
And then he wakes up and realizes it was all a dream. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year, but don't forget the most important player. That's you. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org, and I want to remind you, too, about our podcast. You can find it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play it. Now, if you are a little late joining us, earlier in the show, Kelly began to give us a tutorial on tire wear. I have no idea where this knowledge came from. I don't think he knows what the hell he's talking about, but
I'm trying to do my job.
Which, to be fair, we love Eagle Tire West, and we
absolutely. Yes, these people pay money to be on our show.
This is how we think about when you start explaining tires.
Go ahead.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care. Let me tell you.
Go ahead, Kelly.
I'm just trying to do my job.
Just finish that tutorial, if you don't mind.
You know, again, we get a lot of rain here, so some tires are better than others when it comes to that you don't hydroplane. Mm-hmm. Some tires are better for longer tread wear. Mm-hmm. So tell the people at Goodyear at Eagle Tire what type of tire that you're looking for, because they're not all the same. That's all I'm trying to say.
And they'll have it.
Of course they will, and they'll be able to advise you on which ones. All these tires are tested.
Which I'm glad they'll be able to advise me, because I would never take advice.
No, I wouldn't take any advice
on my tires.
I'm not saying take advice from me. I'm saying go to them.
Yeah, well, yeah. Kelly also does a lot of home repair, home remodeling, and home construction, and he goes to MCS Home Center to get all his supplies. What is the project this weekend, Kelly?
I need some new readers. I have to go from the 175s to the 200.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Already? Yeah. Is that because your sister punched you in the face?
No, it's because I'm just
complaining
old.
That she was 5 minutes late for a practice baseball game?
No, he thought they were broken because he saw fencing at Reed Green.
Oh, that's real, Kelly. That happened while you were gone.
But I do have CSI Hattiesburg, or CSS Hattiesburg, I should say.
What is that? I'm afraid.
Can't see.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah. You got some sports you'd like to talk about, Dima?
Well, we talked yesterday. I can start this off. We talked yesterday about, and I thought that Jay Ladner would be back as head basketball coach. The first thing, and now there are reports surfacing that is indeed the case, although That's right. And the first thing that got me really thinking this way, this was before the run they made in the tournament, was that when Coach Ladner was one of the last times he was on the program with us, he said, we are going to Iowa State next year in Ames. And that, I just don't think that you would, and maybe he just said it in passing, but I don't think that verbiage would have been chosen if he didn't know something that everybody else didn't know.
I disagree, just because Charles Huff told us that he couldn't wait to see us on Monday, and the next day he was the Memphis head coach. So I will say that coaches don't ever, you know, show their cards generally, except if you're Lane Kiffin. But
to that point, Dima, and I know some people are going to say, oh gosh, here he goes. Jay Ladner's not just, he's not a Charles Huff type of guy.
Yeah.
He was born and raised here. Folks went to Southern Miss. I mean, coached high school at Oak Grove and at Jones.
He's nothing like Charles.
No. So I just don't think he would do that.
My argument was that I don't trust, like, that just kind of just flows through me now. Like when coaches are like, I'll be here next year, whatever, like. I don't take it from them. I'll take it from the reports first, because, you know, there's been so many times where a coach is up for another job. I'm not saying Jay's up for another job. I'm just saying there's so many examples of coaches being up for another jobs. Hey, I'm focused here. I haven't even heard about it, haven't even said it. And then, like, 2 hours later, he's that guy.
Well, let's break it down. They won 5 of their last 6 games, counting the tournament games. I believe that's right. Or maybe 5 of 7. They won 2 of their last 3 regular season, won 3 in the tournament before they got knocked out. Won 19 games. Dima, as he rightly pointed out earlier this week, played a really difficult non-conference schedule, and some of those games were very close against real Power 4 schools. A bounce here, a bounce there. This is a 21-22 win basketball team. I mean, I don't see how anybody doesn't see that as a positive.
And you got to remember, too, you were 5 weeks without Isaac Tavares.
Correct.
Who is definitely one of the linchpins in that group. So I just think that under other circumstances, perhaps, but I don't think now. Now, the big question is going to be, he's in the next season, he will be in the last year of his contract. Okay, then what happens? Here's something that we haven't talked about. Does he retire? People talk about being replaced or the, but I mean, he's in a situation too where he's been at it a while, and I would think that might be something that would be considered. I don't know that.
Well, I think based on when he was talking to us about going to Iowa State and what have you, that's not on his mind immediately. Yeah.
No, I agree. So next year, you know, time will tell. But then the other question becomes too, and this point has been brought up in other discussions with guys at watering holes around town. Is it really? Remember in the old days when you'd recruit players, you'd say, "Well, you don't want to go to that school X, Y, or Z because that coach, he's not coming back." Well, anymore with NIL and transfer portal, it doesn't matter whether a coach is coming back because you're essentially having to recruit a whole new team anyway, right? So coaches can play out that last year of their contract, and other schools can't use that as a recruiting tool against them.
Do you figure that happens again this year, Dima, that the basketball staff has to recruit virtually a new team?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's just kind of the way it is now with college basketball. And it's not just at the mid-major level. I mean, with the one-and-done rule, even at the higher level of college basketball, you got these star players playing for Duke and Kansas, and then they'll have a whole other team, you know, next season. So it's just the way college basketball is. Now, obviously, the argument is that you would hope to retain some of these players to at least have a baseline for next season. I don't know if you can retain all of them, but maybe if you could just get one or two of them, you know.
Who hopefully would you want to see retain?
Well, Tyleek Weeks for sure. I mean, if you could get some way to get him back here and for another season. Now, I will say he was asked in that post-game press conference about, I can't remember if it was him or Jay that was asked about, you know, how to retain some players. And he was saying, you know, sometimes players just see the money and go for it, but we hope that even though we can't offer that money, that you love playing basketball here for us, for Southern Miss. And I will say, Tyleek Weeks was shaking his head yes to that and shaking his head no to money. So, and I know that...
And he's a fine player.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, sometimes everybody has, you know, the number... People are going to say that everybody has a number. But I will say that when Chris Jones was asked that after the New Orleans Bowl, it was very obvious to every single person in that room what he was going to do, because he answered it by saying, I love it here. I've loved playing here. But sometimes you just have to make choices for what's best for your career. And you're like, okay, he's transferring. Tyleek Weeks did not give me that impression. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying he's for sure back 100%, but it just didn't give me that impression that he was going to do that. Another player, of course, is Isaac Tavares. If you could somehow, you know, get him back, I think he's probably a likely candidate to get back. They have some players that they could build
around those two.
Right.
And, you know, Weeks played at Southwest Community College.
Right.
And I
think he finds it a big deal that Jay Leitner was the only one to give him a chance to play at a D1 basketball team. Mm-hmm. And that matters.
You hope it does.
You know, Ole Miss might come with $700,000 or whatever, and then it might not matter anymore. Mm-hmm. But
700,000 reasons and for again, it not to matter so much.
And again, just like coaches and like Chris Jones, unfortunately, with the rules that you're playing with these days, you can't blame these kids.
No. And I think that's what Jay said. He actually said it on social media. he just tweeted about it and saying, you know, sometimes it's just life-changing money. And, like, if you were in that situation, if I was in that situation, I mean, that's the problem now is you just don't have – legacies anymore in college, right? Like, you're not going to have the for example, like Brett Favre and Jay Leitner correctly said this. If Brett Favre, you know, lived in this day and he was here at Southern Miss, he would have played here one season.
Right.
How long would Clarence Weatherspoon have lasted? 1 year, Kelly?
Well, right. According to the people in Louisville, he was here for 10.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave Louisville hell through the years.
He sure did. But we had to put up with Purvis Ellison.
Yeah, they were some pretty good players.
Who seemed like he was at Louisville for 20 years.
All right, well, I guess the next couple of weeks going to be interesting about basketball.
Yeah, and I would just say that I really think if Southern Miss was going to make a coaching change, we would have already heard it.
I think you're right.
And, you know, those things aren't decisions that they make over a week. You know, if they're right. Like the ULM coach was fired a day after the season was over.
And again, if Southern Miss was rolling in money, it might not be
real quick. 15 seconds. Was it the run and the tournament in the end that'll make the difference in bringing coach back?
No, I don't think so.
I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
I think he would have been here anyway.
I think that had happened before the tournament started. Because they finished the year very good. I mean, you know, and
just with conversations I had with Jeremy, kind of off the record, I kind of knew that he was coming back basically in January.
I don't mind saying I'm glad.
And they were playing their best basketball at the end of the year.
They played really well at the tournament.
Two wins away from going to the tournament. And for the record, Troy did beat Georgia Southern last night. So Troy is the Sun Belt tournament champion, and they will play in the NCAA tournament.
And James,
go ahead. James Dan Madison, they won the women. Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Go get some good hot beignets before the Ole Miss beatdown tonight at Pete Taylor Park. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, if you've got some gold laying around your house, maybe some silver, maybe some old coins or jewelry that is no longer fashionable for you and you'd like some cold, hard cash, Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West, they've been buying gold and silver longer than any jewelry operation in the Pine Belt. Marty Vick is an absolute expert at analyzing the value of your gold and silver. He'll give you a fair price. It'll be very confidential. You'll walk out of the store with cash in your hand. You just won't get a better price for your gold, for your silver, your old coins or jewelry than you will at Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West. And Kelly, do you have any advice on how to buy and sell gold jewelry now that we've learned that you are a tire expert?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, Bob, because
this would be something he would have to wear because he wasn't around any women with him.
As a public service, if you will just give me your address and tell me where that gold is, I will...
No, Kelly, no, I will
be,
no.
I will be happy to drop it off.
I know, I'll be glad to pick it up for him. I might leave town afterwards, but I'll be glad to pick it up for him.
And Marty said for you not come nowhere near his store, by the way. He said the jewelry deal does not apply to you. He didn't want you in the building.
He's also a really good judge at women because Cindy Vick is about as good a woman as you can.
I don't think there's a kinder, more wonderful person on the planet. And every time I see her and I look at Marty and I look at Cindy and I look at Marty and I look at Cindy and I think, Cindy.
Well, she's compassionate.
It must have been a really weak moment.
No, she's compassionate. That's what I mean.
All right, Damon, news and notes.
Graydon Harris named Sunbelt Pitcher of the Week for the first time this season. He obviously struck out 13 over the weekend against North Alabama, 7 innings, career high strikeouts and innings pitched. So his ERA is all the way down to 3, of course, after that tough outing against Santa Barbara that ran his ERA all the way up to 5 or whatever it was. But that ERA is coming down, so good for Graydon.
Negotiations for NFL free agents taking place yesterday and today. You heard about some of the moves that are going to happen. They'll officially sign their contracts tomorrow. Pretty quiet today, but some of the things that the NFL is contemplating, Bob, and rule changes. I'll run these past you guys and let me know what you think of them. Now, any rule change would not take place until the 2027 season. So this coming fall, these would not go into place. But if these were passed, they would go into effect in the 2027 season. The first one is to be consistent with the college rule. You would only need in the NFL 1 foot inbounds to constitute a catch.
I can live with that.
Dima? What about you, Dima?
Yes.
You like that. Okay. Number two, they would eliminate the tush push. Couldn't do it.
I like that.
It would have to be really defined on what it is, right? Because I think like under center on the one where you're just doing it 4 or 5 times, that's fine. But if it's like a QB power where the QB's in the shotgun and then, you know, he gets to the line and then they're able to push him for a first down, I think that should be allowed.
Right.
Okay. And some of the more controversial ones, a 60-yard or longer field goal would give a team 4 points as opposed to 3.
What was
that? That was Hump the Wonder Camel.
Yeah, it was Hump.
Hey, so Hump didn't like it.
Hump didn't like it.
What about you?
I don't like it at all.
No, I think anytime you're changing points, I think you're changing the game. too much.
And the kickers are so good now. If anything, I would like them to put the uprights closer together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the field goals are becoming a little too dominant.
Yeah, they are, and they're kicking the fire out of them.
If you get to like
them.
The 40, you're going to make it. That's what. So you don't have to go that far.
Okay, here's another controversial one. Once you cross the other team's 50-yard line, you are not allowed to punt.
No.
Unless you're inside 2 minutes of each half.
No.
I think that should be the 40. The 50 is kind of crazy. Because what are you going to do if you're on the opponent 49 and it's 3rd and 9? The whole point of that is to pin them deep. You're flipping, you know, getting field position.
You're going to drop, take a knee, and then have the kicker come in and kick a 4-point
field. On third down, they're going to take a
yeah.
knee.
But that's one of them. And then the last one, get this. You would have, after a touchdown, a 3-point conversion option. Now, the 1 point, of course, is the kick. The 2-point conversion is from the 2-yard line. The proposed rule change would be a 3-point conversion from the 8-yard line.
No. I don't like that either. Again, anytime you're changing points, I think you're changing the game.
You're changing the game. What's wrong with the NFL game? I mean, come on.
Doesn't it sound like to you, though, that they're trying to increase scoring?
No, that's 100% what they're trying to do. They want it to be a gun, you know, a run-and-gun game.
59 to 54.
I think that's right, yeah.
Something like that. So
and
we'll,
playing in Uzbekistan.
I don't know.
Iran.
Yeah, but if you go to Iran and they get in the huddle and he says, we're going to throw a bomb. I'd
leave the stadium if you're me.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I'd...
You've got to be careful using them words in the Middle East.
That's right. So those are some of the proposed rules that the NFL is contemplating. And you'll see some of those in the UFL, the Spring League. You're going to see some of the ones that they're serious mm-hmm. about implementing.
You know, they changed the kickoff rule, and when they first did it, I thought, well, this is horrible. But as I've watched it through the year, I think it almost created more kickoff returns than what we had seen before. I thought that rule was okay. It looks odd when they're lined up.
And I think the NFL would think that you would get used to these rules as well, because I think they really like these. That even with 2 minutes left in the game, a 9-point lead is not safe. Because if you score the touchdown and then go for the 3-point conversion.
I think Dima's right. You start changing the way you're scoring, then you've changed fundamentally the game that
right.
you're watching.
Right? Like, you're going to watch college football on Saturday, then have to, like, change your whole mindset on football on Sunday.
I don't know. Some of us correct. That haven't scored in years, I'm all
for. Well, you're used to shutouts.
Yeah, I'm used to zero.
Who's
going to
win tonight, Southern Miss or Ole Miss?
I like Southern Miss in a close one.
I think Southern Miss wins big.
I do, too. Big.
No, I think the Golden Eagles are rolling, baby. We'll have Travis Creel on the show tomorrow to talk about it all, and hope you'll join us then. Have a good time tonight at Pete Taylor Park. Till next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.